morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are a locally grown radio. Got James, Melissa, Beth with you. We are joined right now by our friends from the Weather Eye Weather Center. Good morning, Paul.
Yeah, good morning to you guys.
How's it going over there?
Going really well. How about yourself?
Not bad. We're just looking, enjoying this sunshine right now while we got it. What is it? What else we got in store for today?
Yeah, it looks like we'll see some of those sunny breaks with some clouds still hanging up over us at times as well as the day goes on. But otherwise, yeah, looking at about 29 for high. Maybe a few flurries in some of the clouds around the area. North winds 10 to 15. More clearing moves in across the region tonight. Low at about 3 above. And then for Tuesday, into some sunshine and 32 for the high, light northwest winds, 19 Tuesday night, and then warming up into midweek, mid-40s, partly sunny skies Wednesday, 37 Wednesday night. The next low-pressure system looks to be more of a rain event coming up Thursday with some rain showers likely, 47, and then rain maybe turning to mixed precip Thursday night into Friday to some snow showers, 30 Thursday night, snow showers, a little mixed precip Friday, 35. And then 18 snow showers Friday night into Saturday. High is still about 29 Saturday. Some mid-30s back here on Sunday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
We kind of saw this coming. appreciate it, Paul. Thank you so much.
Yeah, have a good one.
You too. Best in the business right there, friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center. Mother Nature definitely giving us a gumbo of weather.
Oh, absolutely. Yep.
It's the spring casserole.
Yes. More food talk about an hour from now when we kick off the 9 o'clock hour with the kitchens open. How's that for a segue?
Not bad.
We will have that for you at the 9 o'clock hour. Looking forward to it. We're also going to get into this hour, Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. We'll talk a little Ticketmaster later. And the percentage of couples that would sleep in separate beds to get better rest. All that coming up. Right now, though, we got an this one actually came up on International Women's Day, and I was hanging on to it. I wanted to do this show with the both of you, or this segment with the both of you. People on social media are suggesting things that could be re-engineered to make them more comfortable and considerate to women. And here are the highlights. So I'm just going to say these, and I am backing out of the conversation and letting you two kind of run this, all right? For once. I've done this before where I've said I was going to do that, and then I just get barking. So I'm just going to shut up and let... Number one, comfort and safety in cars. Seatbelts that fit more naturally for women, particularly those with bigger chests, and utilizing crash test dummies with women's body types, including pregnant ones from automotive testing.
Absolutely.
Yes, and also the headrests on seats.
Yes.
Mm. Because for some reason, and it must just be the way that a man's back is. Okay, men are naturally have poor posture.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty well accepted. And for me, sitting in a car is super uncomfortable for the most part, unless I have something between, like a cushion between my back and the seat. Otherwise, the headrest pushes my head forward.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just super uncomfortable, and I have a headache every time I ride in a car.
Mm. Well, and I think it's the seat belts and the way that they lay across the chest for women. It's just, it's pain, and it can cause damage. If you're in a car accident, it can injure your breasts, and I don't know what they can do about it. They've done a great job of putting in a lot of modern cars adjustable seat belts. So for the height range, we've taken care of that. So what can we do for the body types? And I love that they're considering even pregnancy, because the way that the lap belt sits when you're pregnant, it's completely different. You have to figure out how to get it underneath the baby bump so that if something happens, it doesn't injure your abdomen.
Yeah. Yeah, and I you know, haven't experienced that myself, but I can imagine that that would be very uncomfortable.
It is.
Yeah. I've wondered this since my ex-wife, when she was pregnant with our first, and I couldn't understand how we've been doing this. Like, that was 1999. That was I don't understand why we're still doing it this way.
Well, part of me wonders if it's because in that career, there have been so few women. And women that are in there, their voice isn't heard as much.
Special.
Sorry, one more thing about that, because this book that I'm listening to, it's the same one that was talking about airlines. They mm-hmm. were talking about crash test dummies as well, specifically testing the reaction on cadavers, which is not something that people want to talk about or look into, but the data that they get from testing on a cadaver is a whole lot different than what you get on a crash test dummy.
Hmm.
And I don't know, after listening to that, I was like, well, why don't we
right.
do that with cadavers? That seems to make perfect sense.
Well, we need more people who are willing to
safer.
Yeah, to donate their bodies to be able to do that. Yeah, because people. You don't want to do that. I mean, I think that's part of the challenge is we don't want to be disrespectful of the dead. But if it's somebody who says, you know what, even after I'm gone, I want to be able to be helpful.
Right.
So I'm going to donate my body to be able to use for test things to keep others safe.
Well, and that's the thing. It is saving others. It's, mm-hmm. it's helpful. But it does have that stigma of, well, we can't be disrespectful.
Right.
I'm sorry. I think that I want my body after I'm gone to be used in any way that it can help future generations
yep.
and safety and yeah. it can save lives, all of those things.
People dedicate their bodies to science all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Right, special, but for specific things.
Mm-hmm. This could be one of those specific things.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Special compartments in vehicles where you can keep your purse.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be nice. I hate having to put it on the floor.
Right. Well, and the floor is better than putting it on a seat. Because if it's on a seat and you get in an accident, it becomes a projectile.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And they're saying that with everything. And even car seats, one of the safety features, and a lot of people don't realize this, is even when you do not have a child in your car seat, you are still to strap that car seat down mm-hmm. because it can
yeah,
become a projectile.
Mm-hmm.
And the safest place to put things in your car, if you're going to be traveling, is in the floor area.
Right.
Tools, gardening equipment, and cooking knives that are designed for people with smaller hands and grips.
Yes.
In some cases, the tools geared towards women are just pink and aren't actually made any differently.
No, and they're chintzy. They're not strong.
Right.
They're not good tools.
That's ridiculous. Wow. I didn't even thought of that one. That one's never even... I'm saying it's ridiculous that I've never thought of it, as well as that it's still happening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, they've made left-handed tools, yeah. left-hand mm-hmm. scissors.
Mm-hmm.
Make them for smaller grips
right.
or larger grips. You know, I mean, you got to consider all of the possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
Unisex bathrooms should always have special boxes and trash cans for period product disposal.
Mm-hmm.
And free
mm-hmm.
products should be available just like toilet paper is.
Mm-hmm.
It should, and it's happening in some countries. Another thing is there should be changing tables in every bathroom.
Amen.
Men's and women's and unisex, because where can single fathers change their baby's diaper?
Mm-hmm.
I don't see what the harm, because I'm thinking of the flip side of a lot of these things and stuff. And I mean, what is the harm of doing all those things?
There's no harm.
None.
It's cost.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, everything costs. I'm so yep. tired of hearing cost be the thing that holds us back from
right.
making life better or saving lives or any of these things. Since we were children, long before we were born, they had this beautiful little sign in New York that showed you the national debt. Now it's going crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It's still going up. Still going up. Like, does anybody genuinely think in any of our lifetimes or our children's lifetimes that that's going to change? Like, let's just get over this. I'm not saying we spend crazy or anything like that. We just go ahead and just throw money at every problem or something like that. For the love of God. I love the idea of looking back in history books and the reading 30, 40 years ago at this time and why we didn't do certain things. Money.
Mm-hmm.
Because of money. We didn't save lives because of money. We didn't have a better education system because of money. Money, money, money. Always the problem. Money. And they just get over this. Money's going to be a problem. We're going to have inflation in these things. It will balance itself out. The smartest economists will tell you that. Mm-hmm. Look at Wall Street, for the love of God. Wall Street mm-hmm. is all instinct. I could run into Wall Street and start shouting, sell, sell. And there's 100 people
right.
that will turn around and go, shoot, I gotta start selling. Not because of any numbers, not because of anything smart, any intelligence, but because of human instinct, of human feeling. Come on, what are we doing? Number five on the list. I knew I was going to do it at least once in this conversation. I knew it. I just cannot shut myself up. I apologize. There should also be purse or bag hooks mounted on vanities in public restrooms. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
They allow you to avoid putting your purse on the floor or on the countertops, which are often wet or too small to hold them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no place to hold it.
All the dirt and stuff that everybody drags in on their shoes.
Mm-hmm. And it's a bathroom. Bathrooms are gross.
Yes.
But just by nature. Mm. I mean...
The modern see-through floors or staircases can be a problem for women wearing dresses and skirts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That seems pretty self-explanatory. Don't do that.
It does.
Yeah. Yeah. It makes you wonder who came up with that idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Massage tables could have, quote, boob holes for a better comfort.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the article could have worded that better. Really left me hanging out to dry on that one, guys. Like, there's got to be a better way to word that. But that does seem like, something we should have had, yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The body part is called breasts. Yeah, that is not a bad word.
No, it's not a bad word. fitness bicycles with wider seats for women. You can buy bikes with seats designed for women, but this is for gyms, spin classes, and public city bikes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of them are very tiny.
Yep.
One person was bringing up lanyards because there's no great option for where to put name tags on outfits. Plus, they never stick well, so you're just constantly pressing your hand to your breast to fix them.
Mm-hmm.
That does seem annoying. I never even thought of that one either. Huh. Yeah, that does seem like it would be annoying. Yep. It does seem like it. And finally on this list, larger pockets.
Yes.
Yes.
Please.
For everything that is holy, please.
It was a while ago now, but it was ex-wife and everything, living with her, living with a woman that wasn't my sister or mom for the first time, and realizing every time we were going out, can you hold these? Mm-hmm. Can you hold these? And finally, well, why aren't you holding them? Don't you have pockets? No. What do you mean you don't have pockets? I thought she was lying to me. I thought she was no, you just don't have pockets. What's going on? Why do we give women pockets?
You would think after generations of women asking men to hold their purse, men would go, I am sick and tired of holding purses. I am going to create something so I don't have to hold a purse.
these convenient things that are in my pants.
Exactly.
Pockets.
Wow, what a concept.
It's not a novel concept.
Is it designed, pun intended, have one just another little thing for women to depend on men for?
Could be.
Potentially.
I'm throwing it out there. I'm not saying
as well.
I'm doing a thing that the news stations do now where they don't really I'm not saying this. I'm just throwing it out there.
Right.
I'm just throwing it out there. That whole thing.
Yeah, I also heard that the design, the producer people who make pants also make purses.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, it's true.
I think both of you hit on this pretty strongly throughout the course of the conversation. How many of these things, the creators of it or the people that are making it, there are no women in the room to be able to, add to this, hey, we need bigger pockets. Hey, there should be massage tables, should have breast holes, like these things. That there's nobody in there to make those say those things, to be able to counter that. So that just leads to the conversation of inclusion and representation all again, and how important that is, and how much better the world would be. Here we go. Here's another thing. Here's something that everybody loves: money. Okay, all these things. If we make them, we're making new products, and that's more money for people. That's more jobs. That's more manufacturing being done. That's okay. Everybody, hold the presses. We got to stop making these leggings that we're making right now. Redoing the whole design, we're putting pockets on these. We're putting pockets on our leggings, everybody. Stop production. All of a sudden, you've got a whole new line of leggings that are going to sell and all that stuff and everything. Mm-hmm. People having to buy more massage tables, all this. Like, if you're looking for a way to really win people over with these topics sometimes, maybe that's what it takes. We'll get more jobs. We'll get more money. Boom. Let's make it happen.
Or if you do it in addition to. Doesn't necessarily have to be an either or. It can be a both and. Some women prefer to have purses.
Mm-hmm. And then there's the just there's half the population that will open up to buying these things.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the majority of people that get massages?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Yes, some men do too, but a lot of women I know, most people I know that go and get massages are women.
Mm-hmm.
So having, even if it's just a cushion that can be a part that can be taken out or added in yep. to your massage table, it doesn't have to be a whole new massage table.
Yeah.
I mean, there are fixes for these issues that would benefit humanity as a whole.
Well said. We will take a break right here. We'll come back and do some celebrating with Misty's Menu, Birthday and Anniversary Club, and plenty more fun coming up for you on the morning show at WFHR.
Hi, this is Garth Brooks. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Not all of you are singing.
Happy birthday, happy birthday, happy birthday, happy birthday to you.
Thank you, Mr. Brooks. Thank you, Garth. Good guy.
Mm-hmm.
Nice guy. Shows
up. I love when he stops by like that.
Welcome to Misty's Menu, Birthday and Anniversary Club. It's time to do some celebrating and talk about our great friends over at Misty's Menu, who are located at 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. Keep in mind, Misty's is going to be closed on Wednesdays and Thursdays these first 3 weeks of March. They will be opening their doors to normal hours again on March 20th. Keep that in mind. When they do that, they'll be open 6 to 7 days a week at 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. Also want to encourage everybody to get us birthdays and anniversaries. Send them to us, everyone. Send them to info@WFHR.com. Go ahead and like our Facebook page. Direct message us that way. You can also email me directly, james.maloff@civicmedia.us. james.maloff@civicmedia.us. I have two great names on this list. Beth, give me a one or a two.
One.
All right, gives us our qualifier. So we can go right into the celebrating, and we want to wish a happy birthday to Craig Herzberg.
Happy birthday, Craig.
Happy birthday, Craig.
Enjoy your day, Craig. Hope it's a good one for you. And our qualifier today, Dave Webb.
Happy birthday, Dave, and congratulations.
Yes, congrats, Dave. Hope it's a good birthday for you.
Mm-hmm.
Both those names, great names.
Yes.
Great names. Those are good names right there. Mm-hmm. Enjoy your day, gentlemen.
For sure.
And everybody celebrating a birthday or anniversary out there, we wish you a great one.
Yes.
We take a look at our celebrity list, and right out the gate, we got an awesome one. And there was a pun there, and I didn't mean that. Michaela Schifrin is 28. She shoots out a gate. I didn't mean that.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
The greatest skier of all time is 28 today. Yep.
Wow.
Michaela solidified that just the other day. What was this? On March 11th over in Sweden. 2 minutes after earning her 87th career win, Michaela Schifrin finally understood the significance of setting the world record for the most World Cup victories.
Wow.
This is the young lady, of course, in the recent Olympics that struggled so much and had such a hard time. And I will never forgive that the NBC producers for keeping the camera on her for like 5 minutes while she's just sitting there in the snow.
Right.
For no good reason. It's the Olympics. And that's the coverage you're giving us. That's what you're, you know, and all this. It was just pathetic. The way that she has bounced back, that she has gone on to win and become the world's, you know, the biggest champion in the world of all time and all this. Like, good for her. Good for her.
Yeah.
That's perseverance, Holmes. That's what that does.
Yeah.
A couple of musicians we're going to talk about next. David Drainman is 50 today. Disturbed's lead singer.
Okay.
They had a couple of hits, but he really surprised a lot of people with that cover of The Sound of Silence. That was pretty big for a while there when that came out. I don't think a lot of people, that kind of started quite a trend, too, of that, where now, like, the slower songs of rock bands or heavy metal bands taking them and making them harder. Greatest rapper in Chicago history is 51 today. Common is 51.
Wow.
His original name, I actually have, I still have it, his bootleg tape before he even had a record deal. He was known as Common Sense. And he'd sell his tapes on to us and to the whole city, like to anybody that would grab one, take one. He had to change his name from Common Sense to Common because there was a band named Common Sense. They're not around anymore. Meanwhile, Common has an Oscar, another Oscar nod, has a couple of incredible acting credits to his name.
Wow.
Selma, John Wick 2, Hell on Wheels. He was in won for the Academy Award in 2015 for Glory from Selma. Common's had a pretty good career and still going strong. And the greatest, one of the greatest rhymers in hip hop history, and certainly the greatest to come out of Chicago, like by far and away. Like, go ahead and compare Common at one lyric of Common's to anything Kanye West has done in his whole career, and it doesn't even come close. Looking also into the music industry, happy 63rd birthday to Adam Clayton, U2 bassist.
Oh, happy birthday.
Dana Delaney is 67. Great actor.
Yes.
Very good actor. Exit to Eden, Hand of God, a couple of other ones.
Wasn't she in a long-running TV series as well?
Yeah, yeah. For the life of me, I cannot think of what it was right now. But yeah, she was. That's a good call, Beth.
Body of Proof? No. Oh, that was only 11 to 13.
I want to say it was something like...
Desperate Housewives.
Was she? Yeah, she was on Desperate. She was on China Beach.
That's
she was on
what
China
it was.
Beach. Thank you.
It was a China military Beach. Thing. Yep, China Beach.
I had the China Supremes Beach. In my head. Reflections of that theme song that played for China Beach in it. My mom loved that show.
It was a great show.
That was a good show. It was a good show. China Beach was an underrated show. That was one of those good ones. Man, she was fantastic
she
on
was.
That. She was really good on that show. Charo is 72 today.
What?
Charo.
Ka-cha-ka-cha-koo.
Yeah. that's great. I'm glad she's 70. That's awesome. That's cool.
How many appearances does she have on, like, The Love Boat and Fantasy Island?
I don't know what she's. I still don't really know what she's famous for. But anytime she'd show up, be like, oh, it's Charo. All right. Like, there's so many of those personalities like that had that kind of gray area that they were able to be famous, but nobody really knew what they were famous for. They just show up on Hollywood Circles or what was
Hollywood Squares?
Hollywood Squares.
Yep.
Hollywood Circles is the show. Hollywood
well, there
Circles.
There were circles for the O's.
Hollywood Circles was the spinoff that ended horribly after one
flopped.
Episode.
It just
Just
flopped.
One episode. It just ended
it
horribly.
Never went it was, on a roll.
Had a bunch of like Q stars, not even like B stars, but like Q stars. William H. Macy, 73.
Oh, wow.
Frank Gallagher on Shameless. So many other great roles.
Yeah.
An incredible actor. William H. Macy is an incredible actor. I've never seen him
I
do a bad
his performances.
I don't think I've ever seen him do a bad scene. I don't. He's just kind of one of those guys that everything. Every time I see him in something, I'm just blown away.
Yeah,
a great actor. Mm-hmm. And happy 84th birthday to Neil Sedaka.
Really?
Calendar Girl, happy birthday, sweet 16. Breaking Up is Hard to Do.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of hits for Neil Sedaka. And that is going to do it for our celebrity list. But one more time, we want to wish a very happy birthday to Craig Herzberg.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Craig.
And a very happy birthday to Dave Webb.
Happy birthday, Dave.
Happy birthday, Dave.
Dave, enjoy your day. We hope it's a great one for you. You're our qualifier for today. And remember, everybody, get us your birthdays and anniversaries. We want to celebrate with you. Get us more of these. Send them to info@WFHR.com, james.mailoff@civicmedia.us. Or you can also direct message us on Facebook. Get us your birthdays and anniversaries. However you got to do it. Smoke signals, Morse code, you know, shouting really loud, whatever it takes. Get them to us. We will take a break right here. We're going to get to Melissa's news. We're going to come back with some more fun stories for you on the morning show here at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Welcome back to the morning show. I'm WFHR. We hope you're having a good day out there, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Melissa, Beth, and James here with you. Hope you're having a good one out there. I would like to announce that Seth Habhagger is no longer with us.
I second that.
Yeah, yeah. Seth had a good run here. We appreciate Seth. We'll
mourn his loss.
If this is his way of telling me he wants me to wear a ponytail more often, he could have done it differently.
Could have just asked. He's good. Oh, he's good. Shout out. Good morning to our head of production, Seth Habhagger. A topic I think Seth would find interesting, too. Ticketmaster is where we're going next.
Ooh.
And Ticketmaster and Live Nation have been getting absolutely roasted lately.
Mm-hmm.
By everyone from the lowliest blogger to the literal federal government.
Wow.
But they may have come up with a solution. And they just, if they just tell us why they charge so darn much for tickets, maybe we'll understand. Oh, there we go. No, that'll make it all better.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ticketmaster is working on a plan to, quote, educate both politicians and the general public about their practices and fees, so we'll appreciate what goes into the cost of a ticket. A Live Nation exec says, quote, we've got to now go out and do a much better job so policymakers and consumers understand how the business operates.
Yeah. Hey. Huh?
All right. So when your parents would tell you, like my dad, when he would have a cigarette in his hand and he would tell me not to smoke cigarettes.
Yeah.
It was one of those mm-hmm. things where you don't have to be older than three to be like, well, that doesn't add up.
No.
That doesn't make sense. When the people that are making the laws are breaking the laws, like, or in charge of mm-hmm. you know, the knowledge or any of these things, like are they going to pick and choose what they tell us and see that, and then they're going to obviously give us the data that will lead to, this is why the prices are so high, blah, blah, blah. So we're basically being asked to trust Live Nation and Ticketmaster that they're going to be honest with us about what the practices and the policies and why this thing happens.
Oh, yeah. There's going to be no spinning whatsoever in the way that they present this information.
Well, and if they're going to present the information like that, they need to show all of it. How much are their CEOs making?
Mm-hmm.
How much is going to the artists? How much is going to the venue? If you're going to put it out there, let's see all of it.
Right.
And then does it really exonerate them? I don't think it's going to.
I do think that there is some truth in the fact that we don't understand how the business works.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us don't. And I don't think there's a problem. I'm always open to for more information. I love learning things. I like that. I like the idea of that. But I don't think that's going to necessarily do what they hope it's going to do. I don't think that it's, and by they, I mean Ticketmaster in that. Mm-hmm. I don't think that they're going to get what they're hoping for here. I also don't know if we're going to get what we're hoping for here. Like we as people, as consumers, I don't see, like, they're just, again, kicking the can down the road so they don't have to change their prices.
Yet.
Like, this is just buying them time. Mm-hmm. That's all this does. It's just buy them time. Again, bringing up our parents. How many times did it happen? Oh, I don't know. Go ask your mother if they think it's okay. Mm-hmm. No, go ask your father if he thinks it. They were just buying time. They were just, kicking the can down the road until they had to make a decision. That's all that's going on here, is that they're just basically trying to do that, is buy some time.
So is this their, well, maybe?
Yes. This is exactly their maybe. Yes, yes.
The owner of Ticketmaster, well, the CEO, Michael Rapino, earns $11.9 billion in 2019.
Whoa. Yep, there's where your upcharge is.
The company Ticketmaster, mm-hmm. $11.9
yes.
billion.
Yeah.
Not just him.
Mm-hmm.
But,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You can imagine he's making quite the penny off of that.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Here's one of the cruxes in where they have us on this too. Let's say, okay, we're gonna boycott Ticketmaster. Mm-hmm. We're not gonna use Ticketmaster anymore. Who really suffers? Ticketmaster is going to suffer, sure, but the musicians are the people, the artists are gonna be really suffering from this as well. And they're the ones that are, they're the ones that this should be all about. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't even be about us necessarily as consumers. It should be about the artists. It should be about are they getting the money they deserve from these things? The idea that, well, I got the venue, I set it up, I made this connection, all that stuff is noteworthy and should be paid properly. But nobody should be paid higher than the only reason you're doing all that is because of said act that's coming in. You're not doing all that stuff for Joe Schmo and the Schmoettes. You're not, that's not a band that nobody wants to see. Like, you go doing this for this band or this artist. Like, give the credit and the money where it deserves to go.
Right.
It will be interesting to see how that plays out, because I don't think we're going to be too, we're going to be talking about this for quite a while, like we have been since we were in high school.
Mm-hmm.
How many couples would give up a night's rest or sleeping next to their significant other for a good night rest? That is what we're going to get into when we come back from commercial break. Oh, that was a tease, huh?
James.
Yeah, that was good. Actually, it wasn't intended. Take a quick break. We'll come back and have some more fun on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back to The Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa, Beth, and James with you at 8:42 on the clock. And for some people, a bed is a party zone filled with pets, snacks, electronics, stuffed animals, crumbs, a partner maybe, and some not-so-tired kids, which begs the question, how do any of us get any sleep? March is National Sleep Awareness Month, and for some people, the best sleep comes when you're alone. In a new poll, 49% of people, 49%, almost 50% of people who live with a partner say that they either sleep in separate beds or would try it if it meant they could get better sleep. Sleeping with a partner can be disrupting. 35% say that they wake up when their partner steals the covers. Another 35% are bothered by tossing and turning. And other common distributors include sleeping with the TV on, snoring, sleeping with the lights on, a partner not showering before bedtime, and children climbing into bed. The poll also found that people who slept in the same room as a family member growing up, like a sibling, had an easier time dealing with the sleep disruptions as an adult.
That makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, it is well documented on here that I am the world's worst at sleeping. I am horrible at sleeping. Last night, the last 24 hours have proven that. In my defense, I've got a gigantic pain over here, but even without that, let's not make any excuses for me. It's even without that, I would have came in here Monday morning probably complaining that I didn't get enough sleep.
Right.
That's on me. That is, you know, my issue and my thing that I'm working through. But I will say... That when I have lived with other people, like another woman, and I've slept with another woman next to her or anything like that, that's one of the greatest joys in the world to me. And one of the things that, and again, foolish romantic here, that's one of the biggest things to me of why I like the idea of being in a committed relationship or being married one day or any of these things. I love the idea of sleeping and waking up next to somebody. I think that's really, like, I can't think of better ways to start your day. Mm-hmm. That being said, I also have slept next to some snorers. I can snore myself. I'm a mover. I'm that person that I start here on the bed and then I end up on the floor. I can't imagine the nightmare that, and I have sleep apnea. So I can't imagine the nightmare that it is to sleep next to me. So all that stuff being said, if I, you know, that significant other or what have you, they say, look, I'm going to sleep better in another room. More power to them. Like, I completely get it. I completely understand. I think that people like myself may romanticize the sleeping next to somebody stuff, but once you've done it for 20, so like I asked my parents how romantic it is, and I'm sure there's romanticness. They're the most romantic couple I know. I'm sure there's some romanticism to it. There's also a lot of complaints. I'm sure there's a lot of, like, over 40 years of doing this, I'm sure there's some, you know, complaints to it. Any comments on this one from either of you? Anything?
It's a talk show. I like sleeping with a partner. But yeah, it does come with its possible downsides as well. I've slept next to someone who snored a lot and loudly. And, you know, there's an easy way to fix that. It's called a sharp elbow to the side. not hard enough to actually wake them up, to bring them up to the level where they stop snoring so you can hopefully fall asleep before they start again.
What, pancakes?
Exactly.
Yeah, I've had that done to me many times, yes.
I've been the person that snores in bed, too,
because
it happens. I mean, I'm also a sleep talker. I will talk in my sleep sometimes. Mm. That can be unsettling because they don't know what's going on and what I'm talking about, and none of it makes any sense. And they'll ask me the next morning, okay, so you said this. What did you mean? I'm like, I have no idea. I don't even remember that.
Are we getting more? Because I mean, that's alarming to me. 49% of people. That's almost 50% of people. Are we getting closer and closer to the day where we go back to that, like, like the old 40s or 50s TV shows you watch where they have the two beds?
Ozzie and Harriet, yeah, Ozzie,
they have the two beds in the room. Is that what we're going to get to?
You know, and even then, I don't know if that would solve the problem, because if it's a snorer, then you're still going to have the sound thing, and then they're not right there that you can just elbow them.
Right.
And what if one of you likes the room to be colder and one of you likes the room to be warmer? So you've got all of that to worry about, too. You know, there's the wonderful ideal of, you know, I can't wait to the romantic part of it, to just lie down with somebody. Well, who says that has to be throughout the night? You know, as long as you're spending time and making the time to have your intimate moments with each other, and you're still connecting emotionally and physically, There's no reason why you need to be sleeping in the same room at the same time, because that's another issue is what if one of you goes to bed earlier and wakes up earlier and the other one goes to bed later and wakes up later? Then you've got the fear of, am I going to wake the other person up getting into bed or out of bed?
There's no one trick or one solution for every couple. Every couple is going to be different. And whatever works best for you, if it makes your relationship stronger and healthier, more power to you.
And if sleeping on the couch or moving to the guest bed for a period of time, I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
No. Well, and I wonder if how big the bed is as well. You know, when Seth and I first got married, I only had a full-size bed. And he's not a small man.
Yeah, right.
Often I was feeling like I had like a quarter of the bed to sleep on. So, you know, that might also... But we also don't have enough funds. We don't have a king-size bed.
Right.
So, you know, to try to find the right-size bed for the right-size couple, I mean, that can be a challenge as well.
If you want to have a king-size bed, you got to have the room for it.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Is this all just something that mattress companies are trying to get us to do? Is this article all for? Is that what
it's
this is
possible.
All leading up to?
Mm-hmm. I mean, they do have some pretty awesome innovations with mattresses now.
Oh my god!
You can lift up. You can have different heat on different sides. You can have different firmness on different sides, which is really cool.
Have either of you, anybody out there in the audience, Radio Land, anybody ever seen a grown man trying to steal a mattress? Like, you haven't seen. You will, though. You will. If you let me in one of those stores, you will, because I can't afford these beds, and they're so amazing. These beds are insane nowadays, the way that anytime I see a commercial for one of them or anything, this bed, the one that the purple one or whatever, that could do all it seems like
purple
it was
mattress.
It seems like it was tailor-made for me. I can't afford that thing. And I'm going to look like an idiot. I'm going to get caught, and I'm going to look foolish trying to steal it. Like, it's not going to fit under my shirt. It's like...
There's a lot of marketing that goes into that, James. Mm-hmm.
Don't sign on to
anything that you don't get like a 3-month trial period.
Exactly.
With.
Oh, I hear you. Yeah, I've always been pretty smart about that stuff. I learned from my dad about those things. But I it's still good to say that though, because I just last year signed a phone contract that was ridiculous and I never should have, and I will never ever.
You didn't talk to me first.
I should have talked to you first. I know now. Now I know.
We're here for you, James.
Yes, we are.
I'm going to be calling you up, Melissa. Like, why is James calling me? Mel, I'm looking at these mattresses right now, and I'm not sure which one to buy.
No.
Okay. Thanks, Melissa. It's a 2-minute conversation. This is a That Ain't Right story. This is a big one. What would you do if you saw your job posted online for $30,000 more? A 24-year-old woman in New York noticed that her company posted a job listing for the same job she does, a tech writer. And they advertised pay was a lot more than she was making. It was $32,000 to $90,000 more.
Whoa. Wow.
And to make things worse, she'd been trying to get a salary bump for months without any luck. So she applied for the new gig.
Good for her.
She tweeted about it and it went viral. The company responded by taking the listing down and then reposting it as a separate job. Then they claimed it was an internal posting and wasn't meant for anyone to apply externally. And then they floated talk about possibly layoffs at the company.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, that's going to win people over.
Yeah.
It's unclear what madness was going on behind the scenes, but the woman says she hasn't been contacted about her application for the new higher paying job, and she actually expects to be fired for drawing attention to the fiasco. It sounds like she'll be fine, though. She's using the unexpected attention to promote a book of poetry she put out last year, and now it's selling like crazy.
Oh, wonderful.
Well, that's good.
And people are sending her job offers and listings, and she's actively pursuing them. But this has all happened within the past week, so she's still working at the same company for now.
Well, it sounds like there might be a lawsuit in the making there.
Well, because if they fire her now, she's got something to stand
on. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Now, this is... I'm trying to find out who the company is. I would like to know who the company is that's doing this.
Right.
And I'm sorry that this is happening to a woman. It stands out to me. I don't look for those things. I'm not looking at it just to, you know, say that or anything. Like, it seems to stand out to me that it is happening to a woman. That does seem, especially with all the other things we've talked about when it comes to this subject.
Mm-hmm. Well, especially since she was actively advocating to get a pay raise.
Right.
And then they post her job, essentially, the job she's already doing, with, oh, that's a lot more money.
Yeah.
I mean, that's roughly $15 more an hour than she's already making.
Well, and what a creative solution to apply for that new position then and say, okay, well, if you're not going to give me a bump in the salary I'm making, then I'm going to apply for this job that you're giving somebody else that
I'm already doing.
Yeah. I've got the experience. I know what I'm doing. You don't even have to retrain me.
Right, right. I also think that this company should be held accountable.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I don't think that would be a big... I don't think that's asking a lot. We have one here. I don't believe we were able to go over this one last week. We were talking a little bit about plane etiquette and some different things about flying. And I thought that this one was a little interesting. And I don't know if it's a That Ain't Right story or not, or if it's cringy or not. A TikToker came up with a great way to get sleep on planes, like a plane or hotel where there are noisy people around. She asked them to be quiet because she's waking up early for a funeral the next day. And she says it works like magic. She does this a lot. I just feel very cringy about that. I feel like you're asking for, like, you know, I don't know. Like, it feels like bad karma to me.
Bad karma. Yeah.
I don't begrudge her the idea. Like, it's not such a bad idea. I'm not saying that, but it just seems like you're kind of asking for trouble.
You're making up a false reason. I mean, that's lying.
Exactly.
You're lying to just get people to be quiet. You could just ask them nicely to be quiet without throwing in the, 'cause somebody died.
Right.
Yes. Yes.
And you went exactly where I was going to go, Melissa. You know, we're living in a society that complains about dishonesty and what's out there. And then this is promoting more dishonesty. There's got to be a better way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It would stand to reason that you would think that there would be a better way. I would think.
Even just appealing to people's common sense or a sense of humanity. Like, I'm sorry, I've had a really, really rough day and I have, this is my chance to sleep.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Could you be considerate for, give me 2 hours, you know, or whatever, and just ask nicely.
Yeah.
Yeah. How many of you out there know what Kids Bop is?
I do.
Kids Bop, I know. I'm imagining most people out there understand what Kids Bop is. Kids Bop is where they take a popular adult song and make a kid version of it. Well, Kids Bop destroys everything it touches. We all know that. But sometimes they go way over the line. And here is a list of rock hits that have been completely ruined by Kids Bop as we get you ready for the kitchens open at the top of the hour and our entertainment stuff. Number one on the list, All the Small Things from Blink 182. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That song is, it's not a horrible song, but it can, if you hear it too often, it can get already kind of touchy, let alone the kids' version of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Lips of an Angel by Hinder. I Remember You from Skid Row. Why would there be a Kids Bop version of that?
Well, and Kids Bop is all sung by kids, too.
Yeah, I don't want to hear a little kid singing I Remember You from Skid Row. I don't want to hear that. Bring Me Back to Life from Evanescence? That shouldn't be a... What's going on here? Okay, my kids are way older than this, because I was not around for Kids Bop. My kids were not around for this. Yeah. Maybe they were, and I just didn't hear it or listen to it or pay attention to it. I don't know, but I'm having my mind open today. Photograph from Nickelback. Centuries from Fall Out Boy. Higher from Creed. Actually, that might sound better than the Creed version, actually.
You just don't like Creed.
No, not a fan. The Anthem from Good Charlotte. Fly Away from Lenny Kravitz. Why is that so funny to me? The little kid singing that for some reason seems funny to me.
And don't they change some of the words, too?
They do.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they have to.
They have to, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's not really what the song is about, per se. It's more the emotion and the feeling. So I'm going back to Bring Me to Life by Evanescence.
Yeah.
And you know, that's one of those songs that you want to just belt out and sing. And,
yeah.
as a kid, I don't know. I did anyway.
Yeah, yeah, right on. So Far Away from Stained also came up on the list here. Huh. Now, what's better? What do you prefer? Like this, where it's the kids' bop stuff, where they're taking a song you know and they're turning it into this, or like Raffy, or who? Like there was Raffy, and there was the Wuggles, or who was the kids' music band?
Oh, Wiggles.
Yeah, the Wiggles. Oh. Yeah, like that. Would you rather go see take your kid to see this or listen to this for 3 hours in the car with your kid, kids' bop, or would you rather listen to Raffy or you know any the Wiggles?
I did listen to a lot of the Wiggles. Growing up, as my boys were growing up, and the nice thing with the Wiggles is they were all original songs.
Mm-hmm.
But
they're not taking other songs and ruining them.
No,
that's the way to say it.
Well, and two of the founders of the Wiggles were in rock bands. They were in bands before they did this, and so they're coming up with good kids' songs that have a nicer beat for parents to listen to rather than trying to rip off. If I want to listen to something like Kids Bop, I'd rather listen to like Weird Al Yankovic, who at least makes a joke out of it.
Sure. Yeah. I like that. Yeah. Yes.
You know, well give done. Me a good parody rather than a kids' mm-hmm. version.
Mm-hmm. That's, I think I'd take the original music over Kids Bop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah. Yeah. I at least then I know what it is. You know, this would just anger me. Like hearing a Kids Bop version of a song I like feels like it would just irritate me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on the flip side of that, a child performing or a young person performing a song that I know, I support that 100%.
Right.
1,000%. I want to see them. I want to watch them, cheer for them.
Absolutely.
From the stage, but. Studio recording version of it with 12 other ones, not so much.
Little kid trying his hardest to hit the high notes of Higher. I just don't know when to hear that. Although, maybe better. We will take a break right here. We're going to get to CBS News at the top of the hour after that, get you a weather update. And, of course, that's all leading up to The Kitchen's Open. Mm-hmm. Melissa and Beth will take us to the kitchen in just a few right here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR. We are locally grown radio.